Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Here's the snap. Oh, it almost went over his head. Jackson has it, but he's wrapped up around the ankles, and he fumbled the football. It's scooped up by Von Miller, coming the other way, 30, and he's tackled at the 23-yard line by Justice Hill. No, it's an Allen keeper, and he's going to run it in. A 4-yard touchdown run on the read option keeper by Allen. 17 is a scoring machine. Simply put, no one scores points like Josh Allen. He is the Michael Jordan of the NFL. Here's the snap, fakes the handoff, back to pass, has time, looking deep over the middle, wide open is Andrews. Gets away from the tackle, but the ball is out, and Terrell Bernard forces the fumble and scoops up the football.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Well. How about that? Here we are. After everything we heard about, talked about, listened to, going back to week one, Arizona Cardinals. You know, they didn't have enough, they weren't good enough at halftime, come out, win that game. Yeah, a lot of issues. Transition year. How's this for a transition? The Buffalo Bills are headed to the AFC Championship game. They beat the Denver Broncos last week. They beat the Baltimore Ravens 27-25. A lot to get to today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. It is a Buffalo football victory Monday. And I am already seeing the phone lines light up, and I want you to continue to light them up today. This is your chance to get in and talk about what you want on the Buffalo Victory Monday Extra Point Show. And of course, always presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We got a lot to get to today, including receipts. Going to have receipts from Ravens fans. What do I mean by that? Somebody said, I told somebody yesterday, I'm going to read some receipts from Ravens fans. Say, what are receipts? Receipts are when you write something on social media and then basically it doesn't come to fruition and people say, oh yeah, that's what you said would happen and it didn't happen. So we have all of that happening. We have sit up, stand down, hey buddy, everything else that you are normally used to here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a football Monday. And of course, we are live. You can watch us. I am on Facebook, on the WGR Facebook page, WGR550.com. Actually, it is Facebook.com/WGR550. And I got my Victory Monday shirt. You can see it right there. You can comment on the Facebook page if you'd like. You can go and basically have a little fun with each other and talk. I won't be able to, you know, join you on the Facebook page, but you can watch and we can discuss it here today. 803-0550 is the telephone number. A lot to get to, a lot to discuss about how this game went down and what was really an exciting game, maybe nerve-wracking for so many of you, coming down to the final moments. And we will unpack it. Sorry, my computer was dead and warming up. You might have heard the sound there. Trying to get everything going so I can look at the game book and kind of go through some of these game scripts and plays that you might want to talk about. The reason the Bills won this game is the same reason they've won so many games this year. They have put together a season in which their defense has made extraordinary plays at opportunistic times. Opportunistic plays at critical times, however you want to say it. And even though the Ravens outgained the Bills by quite a bit, by the way, the Bills still won because they took the ball away. And I have said many times here this year that I don't know how sustainable it is to play football like that. But here they are after 20 games still sustaining, winning the turnover battle by a wide margin, 3-0 in this game, protecting the ball on their own right, in their own right. And that was a huge key for this game as well. Josh Allen did not turn the ball over. The Bills did not turn the ball over. The Ravens did. And of course, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, a lot has been made about their side. And as predicted, as talked about throughout the week last week, especially yesterday, we were talking about this on the pregame, you know, on the pregame roundtable, and before that, the countdown to kickoff. Excuse me. I said to Jeremy yesterday, we know that the first 24 hours after this game is going to be, unfortunately, mostly about the loser. That's what's going to happen. Especially from the national media, but not from here. Not today. Today's about the winners. Yes, the city of winners, as Sean McDermott said. I don't want to give that dude any more attention than he needs about the city of losers comment. But I will say, thanks for firing everybody up, Jerry Coleman, because that actually was played on the big board before the game with the words, with the audio. Way to give a little fuel. It is pretty to me. I just think big picture, it's pretty remarkable where the Bills are right now heading to the AFC Championship game. But how they got there, we could talk about here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We're going to take your phone calls. Josh Allen, not the most overwhelming game statistically, but efficiently. I mean, he completed 77% of his passes. I think it was. I wrote about it at Arrow Up, Arrow Down. At WGR550.com. And even though it weren't a lot of yards, they basically, you know, did not attack downfield a ton. First play of the game they did, it was incomplete. Allen was efficient. Seemed like he was in control of the offense most of the game. And by the way, it's 72.7%. 16 of 22. Only 127 yards. But made a few critical plays when they were needed. And of course, scored 2 touchdowns on the ground. The Bills' rush offense, running offense, that was so good against the Denver Broncos, wasn't as good in this game, but it was still good against the number one rush defense in the NFL. The Ravens came into this game allowing like less than 3.5 yards a carry, or right around that. The Bills ran for 4.1 yards a carry. Not a ton, but enough to get the job done. They didn't cash in on their first 2 drives of the second half. A 3-and-out, and then eventually another one that they punted. And that was a big deal for the Ravens to get back into it. But they did enough. The story of this game to me was the defense stepping up, creating turnovers. 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to call in and talk about this game. What was it like for you? 19th playoff game ever inside that stadium. I've been to all, but I think 2 of them, maybe 3 of them. I was not at the greatest comeback. And I think the Raiders game, that other really cold one that Steve Tasker had that kick return on, wasn't there either. It might have been the only 2. And yesterday was, you know, we've seen blowouts, you know, the perfect game, even a comfortable win, I guess, against the Ravens in 2020, the COVID year. We've seen some close ones and we've seen some losses. And, of course, the Bills getting to this round and bowing out over the last few years has been a story. That's not the story today. Playing the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship is, and that will be all week. 803-0550. Let's get to your phone calls. We got a lot of them to get to today. I'd like to get as many in as we can. And here it is again. I'm looking up. How much blame does Lamar deserve? This is the national talking media, man. This is what it's all about, the Ravens and Lamar. And look, I get it. I said it. I said this was going to happen. That whoever lost this game, that's what this would be about. It would be the legacy of the loser of the game. And especially if it's Lamar Jackson, or especially if it's Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, right? John Harbaugh's a made man. He's a Super Bowl, not as much on him. And that's what we're seeing today. And that's okay. Let that happen. We can enjoy a Buffalo football victory Monday here on WGR. One last point. I've seen some today and read some and heard some about the final play. Not the final play, the two-point conversion. And of course, hey, Mark Andrews probably should have caught it. He didn't. Whether you want to say it was a bad pass, not a bad pass. I mean, it hit him in the hands. It didn't. It was incomplete. If he does catch it, there's still a minute and a half left for Josh Allen. Jeremy said it this morning. He's right. It's the same scenario as last year when Tyler Bass missed the field goal. How many people said it wouldn't have mattered? Patrick Mahomes is driving down and they're winning the game. Now, given the Bills' offense and how they played in this game, I don't think it's that much of a certainty. But the fact that Josh takes care of the football, he's Josh Allen, they have a minute and a half, and they have a tie game, don't have to super press and take too many risks, they can still go to overtime, I would say I would have confidence that Josh Allen would be able to drive the team probably about 40 yards to give them an opportunity. To get there, Sean McDermott elected to kick the field goal. I agree with that decision because it made it an 8-point game. If you disagree, I'd like to hear the reasoning why. I get it. You could punch it in. Everybody says, well, you could put the game away. I get it. What if you fail? If you fail, a touchdown beats you, just beats you. By kicking the field goal, what they did was said, okay, one possession, but two scores. They have to drive down the field and score a touchdown and score again on the two-point conversion. So to me, that was the right call. But we can debate all that. We can talk about that. Or we can just celebrate if you want. Let's go to Alex in Rochester to start us off. What's up, Alex?
Sal, I'm out here shoveling my driveway, and I couldn't be happier. It's an absolutely joyous day. The game yesterday was incredible. Fitzpatrick getting a start, it was great. I thought the Brian Moorman, event, if you weren't at the game, was awesome as well. But my comment was actually what you just said, and that's the most disrespectful thing, in my opinion, about this whole game is the national media, because I was flipping back and forth between XM Radio and WGR on the way home, they immediately went to exactly what you're talking about. He should have caught that. Lamar, once again, lets the team down. But in my opinion, the most disrespectful thing is exactly what you said. A minute 20 or whatever in two timeouts, and no one's talking about Josh coming down and making, the MVP plays that he's made all season. Just that's the disrespectful thing. One other thing on the game experience, Ravens fans came in, were very respectful throughout the game in the stadium. There were a lot of them, and they just kept saying, to us, just beat Kansas City. Whoever wins this game, just beat Kansas City. So very, very respectful Ravens fans at the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sal.
I heard a lot of that today. My producer, Josh Schmidt, was at the game, and you said the same thing, Josh. You said Ravens fans, aside from maybe one or two people here and there, everybody was really respectful and got along at the game. And, yeah, you have a common enemy now next week anyway, right?
Yeah, I had a long conversation with one guy in front of me. He came in from Maryland yesterday and just kind of last minute decided to go to the game, and he was having a great time. He even turned around when we were singing the shout song, and he's like, you guys make me want to sing. Like, this is great. I'm like, hey, we're always welcoming new members. Go ahead and join.
I always wonder what it's like for someone who's never been in that stadium to hear that where else would you rather be stuff, like, and go, wow, this is pretty cool, right?
Yeah,
I always wonder what that's about. What
they
that's
were all like. Getting up for that, too. It was pretty crazy.
All right, let's go to Michael in Atlanta. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Sal. Great job as always by you. I want to just say this. Okay, all this talk about, the conservative this, conservative that. The bottom line is the Bills played maybe an average or maybe below average game offensively. I think a lot of people, if they would have known the numbers the Bills were going to put up before the game and as to win, probably most fans, even loyal fans, would have thought Baltimore's going to win if that's all that Buffalo can produce. But they just took down what a lot of sportscasters were saying was maybe the hottest and best team in football right now with a average offensive performance. I think that just speaks volumes for the quality of this football team. And going into next week, I think it's not going to be quite as conservative. It's going to be a little bit nicer weather, and I think it's going to be one of those games where they're going to get a lot more players involved, and they're going to have to, I think, in that game. But I just think that it speaks volumes to take down a team like Baltimore with that offensive, you know, average offensive performance.
Yeah, and listen, they have a good defense, too. They have a great defense. They've played some of the best defensive football in the league over the last half of the season, if not, you know, more than that. I mean, give credit to the Ravens. They're a good football team. And the Bills didn't do a ton in the second half on offense. They did just enough to score just enough points, 6 points, which the margin of victory was 2, obviously. But they really didn't do enough offensively compared to the first half. But give the Ravens a lot of credit. They had a good plan. They have good players. That's the one thing people don't take into account a lot is the other team has good players, too, and they're here for a reason. And that's a good football team, man. Lamar's special. He really is. I know. He made some mistakes. We love to go Lamar, Josh, and I've said it for weeks. You don't have to just trash the other guy to prop your own guy up. To me, it's not about that because that guy is special. He makes special plays. But he also made a few mistakes, and that was the difference in the game. The few mistakes versus the no mistakes. That's how the Bills won. Let's go to Tyler in Clarence. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, so just a couple of quick comments, and then you can take over. I'll start out because you talked about it with the Andrews drop, because I did see a few media outlets already here this morning that are just ostracizing this guy. They're actually one that I saw out of D.C. called him the Baltimore Buckner, and I think it's horrible. I mean, the guy's had a tremendous year. I think he makes that catch 9 out of 10 times. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you're a football fan, you should at least feel something for this guy. The other thing is, I really feel like we did get away with one. I'm not taking any credit away, but I think we should be cautiously optimistic. I think we got away with one. The numbers are, I mean, Baltimore dominated the numbers statistically. I don't think they punted once the whole game.
No, they did not.
We're the recipient of 3 uncharacteristic turnovers. One just loft up in the air by Lamar that, I mean, I don't even know. I think he had like maybe just a couple of picks all year. This was just a gimme. I know he couldn't see whatever. I think the weather played a big part in that. But I just wanted to get your opinion. Those are my thoughts on the game and on that one situation. And
do you know, let me ask you a question. This is a really good antidote about this weekend. It's actually two big questions. Do you know what the total yardage was between the Chiefs and the Texans?
The Chiefs and the Texans? You mean your stats-wise?
Yeah, stats-wise.
I do not know.
Texans, 336. Chiefs, 212. Right? You know what I mean? Like, you say the Bills got away with one. I think the Chiefs almost did, too. And here's the point I'm making. What is wild, this is crazy, Tyler. I just read this, and this is true. All of the teams who were the teams that outgained the other this weekend lost. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. The teams that won were all the teams that had the fewer yards gained.
What was the turnover ratio? Did they win the turnover?
Yeah, I think that's it, right? It's turnovers, it's mistakes, it's penalties, it's those things. So, I mean, I hear you. When you say you got away with one, but you know that you create your own... You know, you create your own luck in turnovers too. I mean, Terrell Bernard punching that ball out is a heads up, you know, intentional play.
Huge.
You know what I mean?
So,
I just think that, you know, you got to give credit to making those plays as well. You know what I'm saying, buddy? That's all.
I agree, and I know it's a double-edged sword there when I was saying that.
Yep.
And I'm not taking anything away. I'm enjoying the win. I just think that the Bills, if you look at it and say the Bills executed their game plan perfectly.
Yeah.
With the mistakes they made, the fact that they still had a chance to tie it up.
Yep.
They're
a really good team, no doubt about it. Thanks, Tyler. I appreciate it. Yeah, I read that, and I guess that's true. The Lions outgained the Commanders. The Rams outgained the Eagles. Let me check on that one. Rams had 402, Eagles 350. Yep. Every single game. Lions, 521 to the Commanders, 481. And, of course, the Bills and the Ravens. Ravens 416, Bills 273. That might have been the widest differential. I have to take a look. But either way, wild, right, when you think about it. It's all about making plays in critical moments. Your big players, your best players have to make big plays. The Bills certainly did with Terrell Bernard's play. No doubt about that. Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Hey, Sal, another great win. Listen, I could care less about the stats and stuff like that. All I know is we had one more point than they did. That's what we won. Listen, I thought the games were all funky this weekend. I mean, if Houston plays any kind of game at all, I think they knock off Kansas City. And I think if it doesn't snow in Philadelphia, I think the Rams win that football game. So, I mean, listen, Sal, it's going to be weird for me because I'm married to an Asian girl, and we're heading down to Hong Kong to bring in the Chinese New Year. So I'm not going to. It's going to be weird watching this stuff. I'm going to try and get everybody in Hong Kong to root for the Bills at the bar I go.
I love that. What time will the game be on in Hong Kong? It's 6:30 p.m. here.
Yeah, it's 13-hour time difference.
Okay.
So they're ahead of us by 13 hours. So I got to figure out my...
So 7:30 a.m. Monday morning.
Yeah. So,
okay, that's right.
That's okay. I'll enjoy it. But listen, Sal, very simply put, here's what I said whoever wins this game, and I told you I think it would be the Bills, but I think if either the Bills or Buffalo or Baltimore wins this game, I think they're going to take Kansas City apart. This team, Kansas City, I don't care what their record is. I watched them win game after game, not by last-minute drives, by missed field goals, blocked field goals. Let's not forget what Tampa Bay did to Kansas City when they kicked the crap out of them a couple of years ago. I think we can do this to them. I don't want the Bills to settle, you know, think that this is going to be a tight game. Let's go and blow this Kansas City team off the field and then take it to the Super Bowl. That's how I see it, Sal.
You got it, Bill. You got it. You know how the Kansas City Chiefs have won a lot this year? The way the Bills won yesterday. That's how they've won. By capitalizing on other teams' mistakes. They don't make the mistakes. They wait for you to make a mistake. But this Bills team, they don't make a lot of mistakes. Next week's game is going to come down to that. It's whoever makes the critical mistake. Turn the ball over at your own 40-yard line. Bam, that's a big mistake. It's a big error. Something that can really kill your team, right? So that's what next week is about. Yeah, get to Hong Kong and watch that game at 7:30. Get your Bloody Mary and get all those people over there to root for the Bills. No doubt about it. Enjoy and have safe travels. By the way, it's going to be weird for me too. The Bills played at the Chiefs, as we all know, in the 2020 AFC Championship game, January of 21. The following year was the 13-second game, but that was in the divisional round. People sometimes confuse that with the championship. It was not. It was in the divisional round. In 2020, it was COVID. Us on the radio crew did not travel that year. I wasn't at that game. We were in the Bills' home radio booth calling the game via remote television, watching on screens. It's going to be different for me, too. I mean, obviously, I've been involved in calling games and a part of the radio broadcast and covering the games and the team through many playoff games here in this run, home and away. This one will be different. This is for a championship, and it's my first experience doing it. I've gone to championship games as a fan. I am very much looking forward to being a part of a radio broadcast on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network for my first championship game experience at the actual game. It'll be different. We weren't able to be there. It was a COVID year. We didn't travel. And it's going to be interesting on Sunday. We got a lot of stuff to talk about between now and then with the Chiefs. Let's keep picking it up here about this game yesterday and the Bills season. Gerald in Springville. Hi, Gerald.
Hey, all I got to say is, go Bills. I'm obviously very happy we won. I give a lot of credit to Tyler Bass, who came through with two consecutive field goals, but my concern is the red zone. I just think we could do a little better.
They were 3 of 4 yesterday, though.
Well, then why did Tyler Bass have... Well, I guess he kicked the one from outside the red zone. I just feel like, sometimes we get to... I think we're overthinking things in the red zone.
Like, give me an example of yesterday. I mean, maybe one or two plays. They were 3 of 4 cashing in. Did you feel that they should have gone for it at the end? Is that what this call is about?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
I just felt like the plays before that
just
seemed a little discombobulated, like maybe they're trying too hard.
Yeah, I have to go back and look, Gerald, at the actual play-by-play. There were a couple plays I didn't love in the red zone, too. I also would tell you, though, I think Josh made a couple a bad decision on one on a read. You know what I mean? That's on him.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's not the play. That's Josh making the decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but I want to go back. I just want to just put this out there for you. The Buffalo Bills this year were the number two offense in the entire league in the red zone.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah,
100% against Kansas City would be nice. But yeah, I really want to give a lot of credit to Tyler Bass for two consecutive field goals that basically won the game.
Yeah, and I'll go a step further, Gerald. I think Tyler Bass had his best 2 weeks of the year, the last two games, these playoff games. I really do. I think, you know, given the conditions and what's on the line, 51-yarder. I mean, that was the difference in the game. Plus the other one was just a little under 30. I agree with you. And it was a really nice day for Tyler Bass. It's a great day for the Bills. Great day for the organization, and a great day for me to read some Ravens receipts when we come back next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here on a Buffalo Football Monday. Stick around, though. I'm not going to do too much on that because I want to get to your calls, but there were some funny ones out there, so I'll get to those when we come back here on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday.
Pitch play to the right to Davis. Through a hole like a shot. First down and more over midfield and into Baltimore territory.
Fundamentals in the ball. It's not something that hasn't changed. That's something that we preach in training camp, is making sure we're holding on to the football and taking the football away on defense, and that's what you saw tonight.
All right, that's Josh Allen right there. And of course, when we opened up the show, that was Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Didn't give Chris his due. When we opened up the show with some fantastic calls from Chris Brown. All right, let's get to it. We got some Ravens fans receipts. I didn't say much last week. I told you last week. It's just I didn't want to get involved in any of that social media stuff that's going on. That's, hey, you do you. You like that stuff. You get into it. Some people, that's kind of what gets you going, and it's cool, right? I would say if you're going to be respectful and don't be a jerk and rude and say stupid stuff, right? But there was way too much of that going on, really kind of from both sides last week. But man, some of the vitriol coming towards the Bills from the Ravens and their fans, and I'm sure it's the other way too. I'm not saying it's a one-way street. It's not. But I just kind of was monitoring last week, watching it a little bit. I didn't say much about it just because, you know, you get to Monday and it's like, man, if you're the team on the other side, you got to eat all that, right? Well, now it's time for the Ravens flock, hashtag Ravens flock, to eat what they said last week. So after the game, I said, hey, I'm going to read some receipts from Ravens flock. Send them to me, baby. Send them to me. Oh, yeah. This one, I saw this one right away because I asked them, you send it. And this one is what? Kelly Irish 59, who I have Kelly Irish 59 blocked. I just realized. So this means this person is very rude because I usually don't block people. So Kelly Irish 59, the Bills are soft, not physical enough. All right, that's it. Okay, that's one, right? You could go with that. Like, yeah, just a take on the game. I'm not going to read anything that's super, you know, obviously inappropriate or anything like that. Okay, we got David Way, 16. Not a chance. Ravens will be in the Super Bowl and certainly beat the Bills by 10. Yeah, that didn't happen, David. What else we got here? You beat a team you're supposed to beat. Have fun getting kicked out of the club 1 week later, though, I guess. That's from, who's this from? That was from a Finns fan. Woo! Yeah, that came from Finns Fam, it looks like. F-A-M. Some of these receipts, I know, are just ones that I can't read on the air. Let's get to a few more here. Hold on here. Let me scroll down. I gotta make sure I don't say the ones that I'm not supposed to say here. Oh, Skip Bayless had a few. You guys all sent me the thing about Skip Bayless, basically, and I got those as well. So I'll get to Skip. Okay, here we go. We're back on track. All right. Here's one from, where is it? Hold on. I got. Oh, that was Kelly again. I see how I blocked that person. Okay. This is from Greg Smith, G.R. Smith, 2008. That's because they will be out in the second round of the playoffs. Best case scenario. Slick Willie 227 says more cope out of Buffalo. Diggs, an elite receiver, has made it clear that Josh doesn't have the ability to win big games. Woo! Love that one. Thank you. It was good. Oh, yeah, here's Skip Bayless. That's okay. Lamar and the Ravens will take care of Mahomes and the Chiefs a week from tomorrow. Yeah, that didn't happen. Jordan from at only the Ravens. Jordan says, it's going to get ugly on Sunday. We might just run for over 300 on these boys. You did not run for 300. Derrick Henry had less than 90 yards rushing. John Hill. No H in John's name. John Hill, VFL. You have too many letters. LJ and DH are unstoppable, period. Thinking the Ravens are in trouble is funny. Not to mention, we know Allen's record against quality opponents. So, yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, good luck with you. Here we go. What else we got? We got some more here? All right, let me get to a few more. Oh, yeah. Bills fans think we scared of some Matt Milano with a bunch of laughing emojis. That came from Zach. That Zach was in everybody's mentions all week. That's New Era Zach. Zach, New Era is a Buffalo company, so thank you for supporting that with your handle right there. This is from Ravens Wizard. This came a few days before the game. Poor fans in Buffalo, constantly owned by Baltimore. They were not owned by Baltimore yesterday. Got a few more here. Everybody's tweeting me Jerry Coleman stuff. Yeah, I know. I saw Jerry Coleman stuff. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Casey Swerzy. I don't know. Casey, not worried about it at all. Ravens by 14. It was Bills by 2. All due respect to Buffalo. Ravens are the better team. Okay. I like that. You get to be a little respectful there. That one came from Just Tom with the exclamation point. Oh, Alec. Oh, my God, Alec. Alec_Whistler. Ravens going to have 400 yards rushing. 400! They did not have 400 yards rushing. Okay, this one. Cam Dobbs, IG, plus, I don't know. I don't even know how. What, some of these screen names and handles are different. Okay, this one says Jackson 5. I think 5 touchdowns confirmed. We did not confirm that. We did confirm 2 turnovers by Lamar Jackson, though. Houdini says, Ravens by 10? Oh. Somebody, the inevitable is going to happen. Kayla, talking about the inevitable with the Bills losing. Obviously, that was not inevitable. There's a lot more. You can go to my social media and look under it. Look for the tweet where I asked for these. That's what you do. If you want to see some of these, go to my tweet from last night where I asked for the receipts. And you can see a lot of the ones that are coming at me here. This is from, what do we got here? Yeah, getting stiff-armed into the dirt by Derrick Henry is going to be fun to watch. How come nobody's talking about the Bills? Finding out the business end of the decision-making by Derrick Henry is too tough in the cold. That did not happen. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of stuff I can't read, by the way. Check it out. Head to my Twitter feed. Look for the receipts. Also, you can go to Nate Geary's feed. He's got a bunch. Bruce Nolan, Bruce Exclusive. You can go to his feed. He's got a bunch. They've been saving the receipts and posting them. Just had some fun with some receipts there. You know what the big receipt says? Thanks for shopping here. We're headed to Kansas City. Let's go to Sean in Buffalo. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Sal. What's going on?
Just talking to you, pal.
We're coming back from your Shamrocks Rochester tournament.
Love
and
it.
I'll tell you what, we owned the hotel there. There was a Baltimore team there that the entire time were having so much fun, thought they were going to win. We ended up leaving for a game. We rocked the rink. I mean, completely. We had to watch the game at the rink. Rocked that place.
I love it.
Came back to the hotel, and not a peep, not one Baltimore face to be seen. They all cowered into their rooms like sissies. They couldn't take it.
More importantly, how did the North Buffalo Shamrocks represent the city of Buffalo out in Rochester?
As they always do. They did fantastic. There's even a team still playing right now.
I love it, Sean. Thanks for the update, buddy. I appreciate it. Sorry I couldn't be there with you guys this weekend.
That's all right. We did it for you, pal.
All right, I got you. Thanks, Sean. Really good there. Yeah, cool. Had a hockey tournament. My son, he plays hockey for the Shamrocks in North Buffalo. And They had a hockey tournament. I could not go, obviously. So thanks for the update there. But that's cool. I heard that. Max came back. They were out there on Saturday, and he said, yeah, the my wife, Yana, and Max said, yeah, there was a lot of like people from all – there was a team from Philly, a team from Baltimore. It's pretty cool. I love that, right? It's travel sports. Bill in Old Forge. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Sal. Hey, man. Great win. I got one little pet peeve of a complaint out of them, but the Bills, I got to be honest with you, after watching the Ravens beat up the Steelers last week, I'm like, oh, man, you know, we got a small defensive line. It's going to be a tough game. I thought it was going to be tough. I thought maybe they could shoot some gaps, get them in the backfield before Henry gets going. And McDermott and Babbage schemed it up as usual, got it done. Hamlin made some big plays. Bernard, all the guys that didn't play in the first game when they drubbed us, we're back, and you're wondering how big of a deal is this going to be if these guys are out there. They all showed up yesterday, made plays, masterpiece on defense going against a good team in the Ravens. They actually shut them down pretty good, and like they came out with a W, and it's all that matters. The Ravens are still getting more pub on TV. Mm-hmm. I've been going from NFL Network to ESPN, and they're more or less the narrative is the Ravens kind of lost the game and the Bills winning it. That's not what I saw. The Bills made plays. Turnovers count. They matter, especially when you're the one punching the ball out. I don't want to hear excuses. The Bills played a great game. And on to the Chiefs, on to Arrowhead. My one pet peeve is this, yeah. And I've called before on this because it happens all the time. The Bills do it a lot. I saw Texas do it when they played Ohio State a couple weeks ago. And on third and short, when you got a quarterback that can just bulldoze for the yardage, a shotgun, pep shotgun, you know, they get in there, you lose yards, and then you end up kicking a field goal. And it's like, ugh. And when that happened to Buffalo yesterday, when they lined up the shotgun, Allen got kind of mauled and stuffed, like bear hugged. I'm like, oh, man, like now we're going to kick a field goal here. And I feel like we almost lost the game because of that call. What is your feeling on third and short when you got a guy like Allen that can run up the middle?
Short is a lot of things. If it's third and one, you put him under center and you sneak it, and they've done that better than anybody this year, right? They've done that. When it's third and, you know, one and a half or two, it gets a little dicey. And here's what the thing, Bisbo, let's remember, Bill, one of the first drives of the game, they had a fourth and short. They put him in shotgun. He got it because he runs forward, you know, and he has an option. The reason why the Bills would do it, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think I'll give you the explanation. You put the ball in Josh Allen's hands to give him more options. If he's under center, he can either just go forward, that's fine. But if you need more than 1 yard, that gets a little dicey, especially against a very, very good – I mean, Michael Pierce is a huge, huge, large man, and they're loading up there. Now, if it's just a yard, if it's less than that, you're generally going to get it. If it's more than that, it's not as easy. You put him in shotgun because you're giving the best player on the field a little more option, a little more space to figure out what he wants to do looking at the defense. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think we forget about the times that it works because it did work yesterday as well.
But my take is this on that. I understand everything you said is true. I get that concept of Allen could move and get out to the outside, all that. But my thing is this. This is my pet peeve about it. If I got two downs, not one down, it's not fourth and short or fourth and two, it's third and two or third and one. If I got two downs to get that yard and a half, I'm bulldozing Allen two times. I'm going to go with that. I think the percentages are he's going to get that first down if you give him two shots. Once you do it on third down and shotgun and you lose yards, the option's off the table to do that on fourth down. It's off the table because you lost yards. That's my take on it. I'm taking the chance two times up the middle, try to get it. I can sleep good that night knowing I went with my best option. I think on third, when you go out of shotgun, once you lose yards, the fourth down is off the table and you got to kick the field goal. That's my feeling on it.
All right. Well, I got you. Thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Harry in Canada. Hi, Harry.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Couple things here. One, unfortunately, I wasn't at the game, but I watched it at home, and that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about. Shout out to the tailgate crew at Sheldon and Abbott Road at the Animal Hospital, to all of them. In watching this game, I really noticed that the coaching staff and even the players were calm. It wasn't like years past where there was tension. It just seemed like everyone was under stress. So this is a sign of a championship caliber team. We're way more confident and calm about things. And if we're down, we're going to come back. So I think this is the run. It's too bad that Texas didn't win and we'd be hosting Texas next week. But interesting fact, I just saw that Lamar Jackson's 3-5 after yesterday's loss in the playoffs. Nice to see. And the game, if I was a Ravens fan, I would be blaming Jerry Coleman for the loss. He riled up the Bills team and the Bills mafia. So Jerry Coleman, whatever your name is, and whatever ogre you come from, thanks for the bulletin board material. Have a great one, Sal. Love you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I mean, I don't know how much it mattered to the team, but Sean McDermott basically mentioned it, and it was played on the video board before the game. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with more of your phone calls here on a Buffalo Victory Football Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
And fakes the handoff to Henry, looking into the end zone, has to pump, now tucks it, and he's going to go down for the sack. Greg Rousseau got him around the ankle.
Trying to get my earpiece back in my ear, but that's okay. We'll get right after the phone lines. Dwayne and West Seneca. What's up, Dwayne? How are you?
Good. All righty, Sal. I was going to say, I live not too far from the stadium, so the weather really didn't change from the first half to the second half. Mm-hmm. My question is, and people I talked to that went to the game, they said the only changes Baltimore really did on defense was bring everybody up into the box, you know, up close to stop the run. I thought the play calling was kind of like you, in the second half, it was like you're trying not to lose the game instead of putting the dagger to them. We didn't try anything 15 yards or longer. Mm-hmm. It was like going, what are we doing? We didn't see Josh Allen roll out, throw to anybody in the middle. I mean, did I miss something, or did you notice the play calling different from the first half?
I didn't think they did that the whole game. I didn't think they did, other than the first play, they did a hole shot about 15 yards downfield, and then on the first drive, they did hit Khalil Shakir. Other than that, I didn't see one throw other than the pass interference, I guess, that went downfield. I didn't think they attacked downfield much at all, and I thought they should have throughout the game. I don't think it was the first or second half thing. I think it was a whole game thing, Dwayne.
Yeah, because I noticed even when they played Pittsburgh, my goodness, Pittsburgh was able to throw on him, and Wilson is no Josh Allen. And I'm going, and I just thought that, why didn't we try this more? Now, I hope this, you know, if the weather's cold in Kansas City, we're just not going to sit there and try to run. But then again, yeah. Kansas City's defense is not like.
Yeah. But they're totally different defense and totally different game plan next week. I don't think anything that happened, you know, yesterday will, you know, has to translate at all. Let's go real quickly to Steve in Florida. Hi, Steve. Only have a minute or so. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Hey, good morning. So, Sal, I called this game this week. Now, here's what I mean. I had predicted, I was asked by a talk show host yesterday, how the Bills are going to win. First of all, the Bills will be up by at least two scores at the half. Josh will get two running TDs. The Bills' defense would contain and limit Henry to 75 to 80 yards. The Bills' defense would contain and pressure Lamar and sack him twice. The Bills' defense would come up big with what they've done all season long. Takeaways, takeaways, takeaways. In so doing, Babich and McDermott will come up with a defensive scheme by which the Bills' defense will shock the NFL and everyone.
So you were right on everything, right, Steve?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Great job. Great job. I got to run. Thanks for the phone call. We'll take a timeout. All right, we'll come back here. We'll take more of your phone calls on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good job, Steve. Way to call it, buddy. It is a Buffalo Victory Football Monday.
It's time to get rowdy! It's time to let these Ravens feel what it's like to play in our house! Gotta ask you a question, but hold on one sec. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
That was Ryan Fitzpatrick prior to the game. And of course he said, I got something I gotta do. And then he ripped off his shirt, took it off. He didn't rip it off, his jersey. He was shirtless, and then he threw his jersey into the stands to somebody. It is a Buffalo Football Victory Monday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you after the Bills' 27-25 win over the Baltimore Ravens. They are headed to the AFC Championship game to take on the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium next Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Taking your phone calls today. 803-0550 is the number to call. And, of course, the Buffalo Victory Football Monday Extra Point Show is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We will hear from Sean McDermott later today. He'll do his usual Monday press conference. The big injury news we're waiting on is Taylor Rapp. He did leave the game. It did not look good. It did not sound good from the way that kind of injuries work, which is had a hip injury, got loaded onto the cart. He was he was a lot of pain. Went back into the locker room, and then he was declared out for the game. That's not good. I know some of you pointed out Matt Milano was not on the field for the final several plays of the game. I just went back and looked, and I saw that he was on the field for the start of the series against the Ravens. And then he did hit Lamar Jackson. I saw that. I didn't see anything happen. We didn't get an injury update from there, but if there's anything to that, we'll have Sean McDermott. Could have been a sub package or, maybe did something where they weren't comfortable with him on the field at that point, but, hopefully nothing there, but we'll keep you updated on anything that happens here today. And that would be the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. The Bills also a healthy scratch yesterday for Brandon Codrington, the punt returner. They went with Khalil Shakir, but the Bills didn't force a punt, so Khalil never actually had to return one. Got to force punts against Kansas City. Can't just live, I say it every week, can't live on turnovers, but they did yesterday, no doubt. A lot more to get to, a lot of your phone calls to get to. 803-0550 is the number to call. Sit up, stand down, hey buddy, look around the league, talk about that. We'll do all of it here in this hour. Let's go to John in Buffalo. Hi, John, you're on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I want to say one thing. I've been a fan since the 70s, all right? Jim Haslett, Isaiah Robinson, Stephon Diggs, you know where I'm going with this. But let me tell you something. This team, and I never seen a team, you're married to 58 players. This team has a lot of love for each other. And Josh Allen said it in his post-game after the game. He used the word love like you would not believe. And I do believe that the family ain't the mafia. The family is the Buffalo Bills. They're family and love.
Okay, John, thanks for the phone call. Love the passion. Going back a long time. Bill in Colton. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Sal. How you doing? I really enjoy your show and your articles. Your insight is spot on. Maybe you can help me out here. I'm struggling with the Bills' secondary. I just felt like yesterday, and I was at the game, that there's just too many open receivers, and thank God that Baltimore receivers dropped a few balls, or we would have really been in some serious trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well,
listen,
they sold out. Here's the thing, Bill. They sold out for the run, and when you sell out for the run, you're going to be exposed a bit on the back end. That's just kind of the double-edged sword of it. If you don't do that and you want to make sure that you cover everything as tight as you can, and you're going to be susceptible to the run. They made a decision in this game that they were going to sell out for the run. And if you watch the Ravens, there's actually some analytical stuff on this that says throughout the year, the Ravens have the most open receivers in the league for separation. And I would say that's the reason. Teams say, we're just going to stop the run, and they bring more people towards the ball, which gives more space to their receivers. I don't think it's a weekly occurrence against the Bills. I think it's a cause and effect of who you're playing.
Okay, all right, I get it. I just feel like if we don't do a better job in coverage, and maybe we should go to man a little bit, then we're going to be in trouble against Kansas City.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, like they have played man a little bit more than people think or know this year, or maybe perceive. But yeah, sure, I get it. They can't do that against Kansas City, but that's a different animal. Anything you saw yesterday is going to be a totally different game plan against the Chiefs. They have a different offense, a different defense. So it's not the same at all. And I get it. Like, I saw it too. They were running wide open. But here's what the Bills did. They sold out against the run. And what bothered me more was lack of pass rush. But, again, they're trying to keep Lamar contained. And that's what they were doing on the pass rush. But He was still a little bit too, he had too much time, no doubt about it. But yeah, they yesterday sold out for the run. And that caused people to be open downfield, especially when he had a little more room time to throw. Tom in North Tonawanda. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Sal. Good day. Happy Victory Monday. You know, it just it's a great sign to see. I think that yesterday we really got to see just how much this team can do. We, you know, you can obviously look. We don't have to sit there and look too much. Yeah, Allen, you know, 127 yards. He didn't have his best passing day. I'm not saying he played poorly at all. But they were still able to go out and beat this really, really, really good Ravens team just with all-around team effort. You know, we've talked about the defense, mainly holding Henry in check, the offense getting scores when they need it, and you know, a lot of people already said, I mean, Tyler Bass, I mean, we were both sitting out there yesterday. It's hard to kick a football in that weather and that cold. And, hey, he came through, and the numbers Howard posted earlier with his last nine games or so, you know, he's missed one kick. So let's just, you know, overall, this was just a huge, great team effort. And hopefully now going forward, you know, let's just keep it rolling and do the same for the next 2 weeks and show America, you know, where he thinks it's just Josh Allen. Well, you know, no doubt he's important. But I think yesterday showed that when they need to, the Bills can win other ways too.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that goes against what a lot of people thought about them for quite a while here, Tom. And they've proven that all year. I mean, if you would have told me yesterday coming in, the Bills would have like not even 250 yards of offense, or I'm sorry, not even 300 yards of offense, and Josh Allen would have less than 200 yards passing, I'd be like, they have no chance to win this game. But they've been winning like that a little bit differently this entire season in a lot of these ways. Let's go to Don in Greensboro, North Carolina. What's going on, Don? We have open phone lines, by the way, if people want to call, 803-0550. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, Sal, how are you this morning?
Good, thank you.
Two things, and I want to get your opinion on them. Number one, so Mark Andrews doesn't have a good game. He drops, he fumbles, and he also drops, obviously, the two-point conversion. Mm-hmm. But he's getting way too much blame for that loss. And I actually see a parallel. Tell me what you think of this. Let's say he caught that. Game is tied. Bills get the ball with about a minute and a half. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Something like that. And we mm-hmm. got two timeouts. All we need is a field goal. The parallel is last year's final game against Kansas City, where Tyler Bass misses,
yep.
I guess, a 40-yard field goal.
Yep.
Had we hit it, it would have been tied, and then we got Patrick Mahomes with about the same amount of time, and all they need is a field goal.
Yeah. And listen, Jeremy said the same thing this morning. He said the exact same thing. He said it's Andrews is Tyler Bass of last year. You know, if he catches it, you still have a minute and a half left. I don't know if the Bills go down and score, but I'm comfortable and confident in Josh Allen considering the season he's had and who he is and the kinds of plays he makes. There's no doubt about it. I agree with you. Like, Mark, look, he did not have a good game yesterday, Mark Andrews. He had he had one drop, and then he had that drop. He had another drop earlier, and then he had the fumble, obviously. So he's going to get a lot of criticism, and I don't think it's unwarranted, but as John Harbaugh said, they're not in that position without Mark Andrews. He's a fantastic player, right? But in that game specifically, I mean, you're right. I mean, if he catches it, maybe the Bills win anyway. I may have been more concerned about the onside kick anyway, to be quite honest with you, Don.
Right. So here's my question, different question. I wanted you to expand. You mentioned this a couple times. I wanted you to expand on it a little bit. You have said that Kansas, the game plan against yesterday's game plan, offensive and defensive, is going to be very, very different from Kansas City, offensive and defensive. Could you give us more?
Sure.
Do dirt on that.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks. Well, look, this is a different team. This is not a team that has this behemoth offensive line and behemoth fullback that's going to run straight at you, and they're gonna use Patrick Mahomes. They have a much different kind of running game. Their offensive line has been criticized this year. It's not as stout. It's been considered the weaker point of their team this year. So I think the Bills don't have to sell out for the run, but they'll still certainly be aware of it. They did not run the ball at all effectively against the Houston Texans. So now you can allow your linebackers to not have to be necessarily creeping up on all these plays to get to your line of scrimmage. Now you're open up in the back end a little bit more. I think you can cover a little bit more because it is Patrick Mahomes. That's part of it. And I think on the other side of the ball, You know, the Bills showed that they could move the ball against them in different fashion, different ways than when they played here last time. But, you know, the Bills are going to do what they do on that side of the ball. They're going to try and run the ball themselves. But I think more than anything, from the Bills' defensive standpoint, this will be a game where you're not just going in saying, we're facing Derrick Henry and Ricard and Lamar Jackson running the ball. We got to sell out. This is a game where you're saying, yeah, they're going to run the ball, but we have to really be more aware of Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball, especially at the intermediate level. That's what I think they have to be aware of.
I'll go with that. All right,
yeah,
Sal.
You got it. Yeah, thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's go to Tristan in South Buffalo. What's up, Tristan?
Hey, Sal. Long-time listener, first time ever calling in your show.
Okay, thank you.
No, you're welcome. Just a few things. Maybe you can help me out. If you have the snap count from yesterday.
I do.
And was wondering why we didn't implement Cooper more into the offensive scheme. I just didn't see him a lot on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it looked like to me yesterday that the offensive scheme yesterday was to try to run the ball, do some screens, not a lot of air yards.
Mm-hmm.
Was wondering if it was that's something Joe Brady was just he's seen from the Ravens defense or. One more thing is Gary Coleman down in Baltimore. Who's the city of losers now?
Okay. Well, yeah, really, like yeah. I said, yeah, I got it. Well, listen, I don't want to get into all that. Like I said what I said earlier about the Bills playing those comments, and I know people are having at it, but, listen, Amari Cooper, 21 snaps on offense out of 61. That is only 34%. Here's my guess. This was a game they felt that they had to really run the ball. He's not known for his run blocking. He can do it. This Bills receiving corps can run block, but he's not one of the better ones. And Marlon Humphrey's over there. They're going to use him on him. Probably that's probably part of the reason. I don't know any other reason, but that would be my guess, that just for the game plan wise, running the ball, that they felt that was the way to go. But maybe we can get a little more clarity from Joe Brady a little bit later today. Zoe in Buffalo. What's up, Zoe?
Hey, I just want to thanks for taking my call. I do want to, paint the narrative a little bit different. I know Lamar Jackson had the two turnovers. Mark Andrews had the drop and the fumble. But also, the coaching staff of the Baltimore Ravens, I think should get some blame of the coaching staff. Because real quick, I want to paint the narrative when we played the Bengals and we were slipping and sliding. We blame them. The coaching staff, were they prepared for this? Weather, mm-hmm. The game, the cleats? And now we see them playing this year. It seems like they're a lot better playing San Fran, running like they on straight grass and no snow. The Baltimore Ravens coming into this game, Jim Harbaugh said that it's too cold to practice outside because the field is frozen. And he had them practicing inside with the AC on and the water off.
Right, but listen, I would say, Zoe, I think I agree with your first point about the feeding. But I would say, though, that the Bills also practiced inside because their field was frozen. I mean, I don't know of any team that has a heated practice field. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to practice, you got to practice. You can't practice on a frozen field. That's why you build. That's why you build field houses.
True. But at the same time, I mean, nobody really used it cold to that extent, but. The ball was mishandled a few times from them.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You didn't practice at all. You dropping the snaps. You drop passes. Yeah. Derrick Henry dropped passes. Mm-hmm. Andrew dropped passes. Not even just the two-point conversion. It seemed like that kind of played a little bit of an element into it if the Bills didn't.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. And I would say that you're probably right that that it impacted the Ravens a little bit. I definitely agree as far as the ball. I don't make much about the practicing thing. It's tough. The field is frozen. It's snowing outside. You're not going to get much work in. I thought last week that was a little too much made about that, but it is hard to replicate having a really cold ball. There's no doubt about that. You maybe put it in the freezer and ice it. I guess you could try and do something like that. But I do think it impacted the game in some way, shape, or form here. Walter in Toronto, you're up next. Hi, Walter.
Hi, Sal. I trust all is well. I was at the game yesterday, and it was a little bittersweet because we have one more year left to the old barn, and not that I'm going to miss it, but I'm going to miss all the great Americans sitting around me. Made some great friendships, and don't know if we're going to be able to get seats together in the new stadium. But overall, I thought the game plan was good. Just watching that KC game, it looked like Kelsey hit into the fountain of youth there, and that linebacker as number zero for Houston He just didn't have any answers for him. He seemed out of position just about in every throw. And I don't know what's worse, Kelce killing us or watching Taylor Swift going crazy in the yeah. box. But what's our answer to that Kelce? He was just killing Houston.
Well,
in the middle there. Is it Johnson?
I think the answer is, your linebacker's in coverage more than anything. But, yeah, Taron Johnson could be a part of that. I think, there's times where you have to just kind of really zone him off, double, whatever. But it's Taron Johnson. It's the linebackers. I don't know. I mean, he's tough. And he was obviously great this weekend. He's one of the best all time. And they're going to obviously look to get him involved in this one. This is going to be a really tough, interesting matchup. And obviously, one that the Bills need to win to slay the dragon. Let's go to Rob in Niagara Falls. Hi, Rob.
Hey there. I just got a quick question because I'm a little bit confused on how this was played out. So for next week when we play the Chiefs, I'm really worried about McDermott, the way he calls these timeouts. Maybe I'm not seeing something, but when it was 4th and 2 in the fourth and they went for the field goal, I don't know if they were planning on going for like the dagger, like to put it over with, but that play should have been decided before the timeout. And I just don't understand the reasoning behind why McDermott would even call that timeout for that play when the field goal was the obvious choice. Now, obviously, in hindsight, they didn't know they were going to go down the field and, miss the two-point conversion. But if they nailed that, that means that Josh would only have two timeouts on the way back with, a minute 30 or whatever it was. So I'm just curious what your opinion was on that.
Well, let me look at I could give you what I think right away, but the answer. But let me just look to see where we are here. So timeout by Baltimore at 4:21. Timeout by Baltimore at 4:17, and then the Bills ran it down. The reason why is probably to give Baltimore less time and also to think about what you want to do. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's what it is. They said that there wasn't really much. If it would have been 2 yards, it was probably discussion. I'm guessing they just wanted to make sure they were buttoned up, and they also wanted to make sure that they ran the clock down a little bit. Now, granted, there's 3:31 left. I don't think at that point you're thinking they're going to score on you. We need more time. There's way too much time to think about that. You're thinking you're going to stop them, but the way to stop them, too, is to leave less time on the clock. So that's probably why they let it run down and call the timeout.
Yeah, getting the field goal unit on the field, they had enough time. They could have kicked it. There would have been a matter of like 2 seconds.
I know, but might as well let it run down and then get your field goal team ready. Everybody's set. You have a little time to, prepare for it, and then you let it run down as long as possible to take as much time off the clock. I just don't think it matters here. You know what I mean?
I understand. I understand your understanding of that. I just feel that the timeout was more valuable at the end than the...
It could have been more valuable, that there's no doubt. But again, you're not thinking they're going to score and we need the timeouts. I understand what you're saying, but I think you're thinking in the moment, what is the best way here to make sure that we can be as good as we can on this play and we're running the clock down as much as possible?
Right. Well, so, either way, they won, but that was just my concern. That's all.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, no, but I don't think that's a big deal to me at all, that timeout, but I got you. I understand where you're coming from, though. Patrick in Las Vegas. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Sal. As much fun as it would be to to dunk on the opposition for winning a game of this magnitude, I mean, in reality, this was a game that Baltimore was, it's kind of like in Buffalo's position historically, where the quarterback plays great, but his teammates let him down in spots, and they lose the game. Lamar played great yesterday. I don't care what anybody says. He had one throw that I'm like, okay, fine. The fumble, it was fortuitous for us to recover it and advance it 40 yards. But, Lamar played great. And
he
if
did.
You tell me that the Bills have to settle for 2 field goals in the fourth quarter while holding a lead, I'm really concerned. And I'm thrilled that we won, and I know that the game against Kansas City is going to be a lot different. We're going to have to use Josh more. We're going to be throwing more. We need more big plays out of the offense. But my first thoughts of this game was, it's great to be on the other side where we won a game we could have lost, and we won a game in spite of their quarterback being the best player on the field as opposed to Josh being the best player on the field, and we lose.
Yeah, no, I get it, and I think that's what's different about this team, right? To be honest with you, Patrick, is this team is different because you don't have to have Josh Allen be Superman, and that's kind of what he's had to be a lot of times for you to win these games in the past. Yes, he still makes Superman types of plays, but that's not how your game script has to go. It's not what you have to hope for to happen to win games. When you win games like this in these different ways, that's a sign of having a good, well-rounded team that can win a different amount of ways. I agree with you. Let's go to John in Sacramento. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal. Not Sacramento, more like Southern California. South
okay,
of LA,
you got it.
It's all good.
Hey. How's everything out there with you with the fires, man? Oh, John, you there? Oh, yeah. Wait, John, sorry, I just lost you. How's everything out there with the fires?
Yeah, I mean, I'm well south of the fires. I'm on harm's way, but, you know, thanks again for asking.
Yeah.
Hey, we've talked about Bernard and Milano back and the impact they made. But how about DeMar Hamlin?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had one of the biggest plays of the game on Lamar. And, you know, I look back when we played these guys in the regular season, what, in 22? I think he was a backup who had to step up because of injuries. And just aside from that game, I just saw him. He's not afraid to come up and stick his nose in on run support. He's just been huge. His whole story is amazing. And, he's become a legit player on this team. And I just wonder if you noticed him yesterday.
Listen, I've been saying all year, and he's earned his spot. He had a very good training camp. He had a very good mini camp. I understand people's concerns. He's not the most athletic safety back there, but he does his job, what he's supposed to do, what he's supposed to coach to be do, to what he's coached to supposed to do. He keeps everything in front of him. He will come up and be physical. He's not afraid of that. He had to make a big tackle on Derrick Henry yesterday. I understand when people say, like, he shouldn't be playing safety. Look, I mean, he's going to have to even step up more because Taylor Rapp might be out. We don't know exactly what his situation is. He went off the field with that hip injury. He didn't come back. So, you know, we'll see where that goes with him. And I agree that DeMar Hamlin's had a nice year, and it shouldn't go unnoticed. And he had a big play yesterday. He had the forced fumble, the sack. He gets his credit for it, and the forced fumble. That was when Von Miller started rumbling the other way. Kevin in East Aurora. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out the fact that everyone's talking about in the media about Josh and Lamar having to both have their Superman, play abilities to win this game. And Lamar definitely had to, and Josh didn't have to. That should be something to point out. I know you stole a little bit of my thunder about talking about that second ago. It's more about team effort. It was a total team effort for the win. And I'd just like to point that out because even though, don't get me wrong, Lamar played a great game. It wasn't his fault they lost the game, that's for sure. But he did contribute to it for having three turnovers on his side, and our boy didn't. So it's all about having that great game. Trying to play a perfect game as best as possible and no turnovers, as we can see as last year against Kansas City when they came here. And if Diggs didn't drop that ball, we'd have missed that field goal. And whoever, I forgot the name of that wide receiver, when the ball bounced off his bicep when he's wide open down the sideline, it's a different story. But no one wants to hear that. It's the end of the game that matters to everybody. That's it, bottom line.
Trent Sherfield was the guy, I think, last year.
Sorry, I don't remember his name.
Remember Gabe Davis didn't play in that game. And you're right, Kevin, what you're saying and what is true is, at the end of the day, just like Lamar, he played a really good game, but you make one or two costly mistakes. That's what matters when you're just playing for keeps for 60 minutes of football, right? You make one or two mistakes and the other team is going on, and that's what happened, in this game. Great call. Way to end it there with Kevin. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We got sit up. We got stand down. We got, hey, buddy, we're going to look ahead to the next game, the Chiefs. We'll talk about that. I want to look around the league, talk a little bit about what is going on as well here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills football victory Monday.
Here's the snap. Oh, it almost went over his head. Jackson has it, but he's wrapped up around the ankles, and he fumbled the football. It's scooped up by Von Miller, coming the other way, 30, and he's tackled at the 23-yard line by Justice Hill.
All right, welcome back here to a Buffalo football victory Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here with you. Hey, today the Sabres play at 4 p.m. That's going to be over on our sister station, The Bet 1520. Forgot to tell you about that a little bit earlier, but I'll let you know now. Pregame at 3, puck drop at 4 at the Seattle Kraken. It's at Seattle today, right? At the Seattle Kraken. Okay. So we know now the two championship games. They are set. It will be the Buffalo Bills, of course, traveling to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. That is the 6:30 p.m. game. Before that, it's the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles. Yesterday, how did each team get there? This weekend, of course, the Chiefs, 23-14 over the Houston Texans. Take a look at this box score. Chiefs only 14 first downs, 4 of 11 on third down, 212 total yards. I mean, they had nothing to speak of in the run game. Kareem Hunt actually ran for over 5 yards a carry, 5 and a half, but 8 carries for 44 yards. Other than that, Pacheco didn't do much. But they made the key critical plays when they needed to, and Travis Kelce really bailed him out when he needed to. 7 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown. And on the other side, C.J. Stroud, they just could not protect him. What, 8 sacks, I think it was, by the Chiefs' defense? I mean, the weak link to the Texans all year has been their offensive line, and they could not protect C.J. Stroud. And it was a shame because he was making some really critical plays, throwing the ball. He also got banged up quite a bit because of it. Joe Mixon was running well, but at the end of the game, find yourself down 13-3, then you kick a field goal, make it 13-6, and then you pull within 1 point and miss the extra point. I think we all know, oh my gosh, here we go again, right? Sure enough, Chiefs come down, they score, they take too much of a lead. They do give up the safety at the end on purpose. 23-14, Chiefs go on to their 7th straight AFC championship game, looking to go not only to their third straight Super Bowl, but to win their third straight Super Bowl. We cannot let that happen, America. That's Bills. Don't let it happen, America. Don't let it happen to America, Bills. All right, Commanders, what a shocker to a lot of people. I expected the Lions to win, but I've had a healthy respect for the Commanders all year and what this kid is doing, Jaden Daniels. He's amazing. 22 of 31, 299 and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he is calm, cool, collected, just makes plays, and he made more of them than the Lions did and Jared Goff did. Goff threw 3 interceptions, throws for 313 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown collects 137 of them, but it doesn't matter. Again, turnovers, mistakes. In this game, the Lions outgained the Commanders 521 to 481 by 40 yards. Wild game. I mean, 1,000 yards of offense in this game. Brian Robinson. Jaden Daniels, Austin Eckler, really good rushing attack, balanced it out with all three of them. But really, it was the critical plays, the turnovers, 45-31. This game at halftime was 31-21 in favor of Washington. And then because of a 31-28 game, you're like, all right, if you're a Lions fan, you're feeling good. And then here come the Washington Commanders, a couple more big plays, a couple more scores, just gets out of reach at that point. And the Lions, who were the number one seed in the NFC, their season comes to a close. And that opened the door for the Eagles as the number two seed to host the NFC Championship, which they will do now because they defeated the LA Rams 28-22 yesterday in the snow. This was a game that went back and forth all game. Every time I looked up, it looked like the Eagles were pulling away, but then the Rams came back. And that's what happened at the end of the Rams. They were down 28-22 and had the ball and drove down into Eagles territory. And I think even, into the red zone or close to it. But a sack on third down, a big sack by the Eagles defense, who were getting after Matthew Stafford all day. And then a fourth down pass that sails out of the reach of the intended target seals the victory for the Eagles, who saw Saquon Barkley run in the snow for 205 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kyron Williams had 106 for the Rams, and Stafford threw for 324 and 2 TDs. After the game, he said he's going to have to think about his future. He's going to take some time to think about his future. And I don't know if he's going to decide to play or not, but he still can. 26 of 44, 324, 2 touchdowns. And then, of course, you have the Bills game we've been talking about. 27-25 over the Baltimore Ravens, which sets us up for next week Commanders as the 6th seed. Go to the Eagles at the 2 seed. I think the Commanders can play with them. It's a division game. I think Jaden Daniels is, like I said, calm, cool, collected. I would pick the Eagles to win the game. They're just good. They're really good on both. They're very, very good. But on both fronts, offensive line, defensive line, they may be the most well-balanced and built roster in the NFL. And, of course, the winner would take on the winner of the Bills at Chiefs game, which will be at 6:30 p.m. here in Buffalo. It'll be a 5:30 p.m. Kansas City time next weekend. We will look ahead to the next game here in just a moment. But first, let's take another phone call. Let's go out to Cleveland, but he's in Niagara Falls. Hi, Cleveland.
How you doing? So I just want to say, you know, I looked at some of the narrative in the national media, and the coaching is just not getting enough credit for the preparation they had because, if I'm not mistaken, they stiffed Derrick Henry to 21 yards in that first half.
Yeah.
They pretty much said, put the ball in Lamar's hands. Lamar's got to beat us. And we got two turnovers out of him because of it. And secondly, you know, we talk about the Mark Andrews drop. You know, it's a big drop. I get it. But I feel like there's some notion out there as if they forgot there was a minute, 33 seconds left on the clock. Baltimore only had one timeout, and Josh Allen was not making any mistakes. So it's not as if it was out of the realm that he wouldn't get us to field goal position and end that game out. All in all, I just feel like, you know, Milano, Bernard, Teron Johnson, they showed why they did matter and the better team won yesterday.
Well, listen, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think stopping Derrick Henry in the first half went a long way because they couldn't just lean on him the whole game and know that they were going to, you know, feed it to him. But, you know, not getting points to start the second half allowed them to give it back to him. He started to get it going on there. And you're right about the Josh Allen point you made. We had a caller earlier say it was just like Tyler Bass last year missing the kick. People forgot, hey, even if he makes it, Patrick Mahomes has all that time, right? So it's the same kind of scenario here, you know, with Mark Andrews and dropping that pass. Thanks for the call, Cleveland. I really appreciate it. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with a whole bunch of stuff, though. We still got a long way to go. Sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and a look ahead to the next game.
Back to pass. Jackson looking down the left, right sideline, and it's overthrown and picked off by Taylor Rapp at the Buffalo 45-yard line. T. Rapp with the thievery in the secondary.
All right, let's get to our Lake Hour look ahead to the next game. Brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Rich Pete, big Bills fan. He's celebrating today. Him and Wyatt Russell, they created Lake Hour. He's a big Bills fan. Of course, Wyatt Russell, the son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. We've had him on the air before. I tell you about him every week because I want you to know. You got Lake Hour right here in Buffalo, wherever you go. Find them at your favorite local liquor store today, lakehour.com. They got some great, great flavors to enjoy this Buffalo Victory Football Monday today. Watermelon cucumber, rosemary yuzu, peach jasmine, honeysuckle ginger. You know me, not a big beer drinker, like my red wine. Had some this weekend with some friends in town. And I like my seltzers. This is what it is, premium vodka, tequila, hard seltzers. Lakehour.com. Kansas City, here we come. Buffalo Bills at Kansas City Chiefs, 6:30 p.m. Sunday. I've said it several times. I'll say it again. The game plan from this week has nothing to do with the game plan from next week. This game, next game, every game has its own DNA. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. You can't say, well, if they play like that against the Chiefs. Well, they didn't play the Chiefs. They'll have a different game plan. Yes. There are things that you say you have to do better. Every coach will tell you that. But we all know this game is going to be about playing a full 60 minutes against an Andy Reid coach team that makes you play a full 60 minutes and capitalizes on your mistakes. Listen, this game is way more about, you know, we went into last week all about X's and O's, all about base defense, nickel defense, stopping Derrick Henry, stopping Lamar. And yes, there's definitely an element of that in this game. This game is going to be about making just a few more plays than the Chiefs, because that's what it always comes down to against the Kansas City Chiefs. We got a lot more on tap to talk about it all week long here on WGR and everywhere else. Check out It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Matt Bove and I, we did our podcast last night right after the game, right from One Bills Drive inside the stadium, up in the press box. So we did that. You can check it out on the Sal Sports YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, find me at Sal Sports, subscribe there, watch the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, and you can listen to it wherever you subscribe to your pods. And of course, go to lakehour.com. That's our look ahead to the next game, brought to you by Lake Hour. Premium tequila and vodka hard seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. All right. I've said it, and I'm going to keep doing it. I love watching this kid, Jaden Daniels, sit up on him, man, in this future he could have. Here's the only thing, though. I said the same thing last year about C.J. Stroud, and he didn't take that step. C.J. Stroud was like the guy. It was like, this guy is going to be unbelievable for the next 10, 15 years. And then this season, he didn't take that next step forward. You know, I mean, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a superstar in this league. He already is. He's going to win Rookie of the Year, right? He's fantastic again. Now, I know that the Detroit Lions defense is banged up. I know they have issues. But watch this kid play, man. He's so cool. He's calm. He's collected. Makes great decisions. He can run. He can throw. He can do a lot. He can do so much, right? So let's sit up on this young man and his career that he's already embarked on and we're watching in front of us. Let's stand down on having a long week to talk all about this like last week. Stand down on, here we go, all week, Bills, Chiefs. We got to dissect it. We got to talk about the legacy. I do not want to talk about what would happen if they do not bring this one home. Oh my gosh. I can't. Let's just stand down on what this week is going to be like. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I don't want to. We want you to listen. It's going to be great. I just don't want to get so far into the weeds like last week where it just became nauseating between the two fan bases. I don't think that will happen because actually, I've always said since I was a kid, going to games when I was a kid, Chiefs fans are some of the most respectful fans in the NFL. Now, I will say, I think they've kind of changed a bit after they started winning Super Bowls, and they'll tell you about it any chance they can get, and that becomes a little nauseating, but go beat them then. Go beat them so that they can't do that. Okay, time for Hey Buddy. I got a very interesting Hey Buddy today. My Hey Buddy is not a breathing being.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey Buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey Buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
My buddy is the Old Bones Highmark Stadium. Last night, Josh, walking out of there, I took a picture, I tweeted it at Sal Sports, and I wrote, 10-0 in these Old Bones, one more Bills Mafia season to go.
I didn't think about it until I got to my car, but I was like, man, that's...
And there then you see the other one right across the street, and that's just going up quick. It's going up big. It's right there in front of you, right? I know.
It hits hard. Even though there's still a year left, you're like, man, this is crazy. There's only 1 year left. There's only, what, at least 8 more games?
Yeah, you're right about that. And last night I'm walking out, and I'm thinking, what a great season they've had here, 10-0. I mean, really, like, you go back. Let's look. Can we just real quick? I got, like, a minute here. Let's kind of go back to the Bills season inside Highmark Stadium, 10-0. They win that Arizona game by coming back in the second half. They were down in that second half. Josh Allen, that's when he hurts his hand. We think maybe broke his hand, his left hand. It was reported later. But, yeah, his left hand. But they came back. They won that game. Then they have that Monday night game against Jacksonville. They just destroy the Jags. Remember that one, 47-10?
I was at that one. That one was great. It was awesome to be there.
Then they go on the road a few games, come back home, Tennessee again. After 47-10, they beat the Tennessee Titans 34-10. That game was close at halftime, too. The Bills just blew the doors off them in the second half, if I remember correctly, the way that one went. Then you had a close game against Miami. Remember that one? That's the 61-yard.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Bass.
Tyler Bass field goal to win it, the walk-off field goal to win it from Tyler Bass. Bills win that one. Then the Chiefs come to town. 30-21, Bills beat them. Chiefs still have this amazing record in one-score games, consecutive wins. that was not a one-score game because it was a nine-point game. So it's just kind of sometimes it's just the way it works out with the math. But they do beat the Chiefs 30-21 in that game. That was a big, big victory for the Buffalo Bills, and we'll be referring to that game. I think they will, too, in Kansas City quite a bit, you know, over the next 6 days or so. Then they have the bye week. They come back. San Francisco, snow game, 35-10, win the AFC East. That's the AFCs. That's the Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, snow angel game.
Allen gets the pass, but doesn't get the touchdown, or whatever the stat was. He didn't get the receiving touchdown, but he got a passing touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
On a play
right.
Where he caught the touchdown.
Yep. Come home to New England, didn't play their best football, but they still win 24-21. Had to come back in that game a little bit. Not the cleanest of games, but they picked up the victory. And then they, of course, beat the Jets 40-14, just domination of the Jets in the final regular season home game of 2024. And then it's two here in Buffalo to start the playoffs. Of course, excuse me, last week against the Broncos, 31-7. And yesterday, 27-25. 10-0 at Highmark Stadium this year. My buddy. Highmark Stadium, thanks for being great, you know, host, a great host this year, the Highmark Stadium house for Bills Mafia and the Buffalo Bills. One Bills Live is up next. A lot more to get to on a Buffalo victory, Football Monday. Stick around with us here on WGR.